Thank you, Pastor. Take your Bible, please. It's a good start, amen? It is a way to start. Come to church, we're going to get into the Bible. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. Chapter number 1, John's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All right. Well, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'd like to announce that winter's over. I'm not sure that I can, but I'd like to. My wife told me that in the Nashville area where we live that it will be 71 degrees today. And I told her, in that area, winter is over. One of the guys who works at the Sword of the Lord has a little side business mowing yards. And for about 15 years, he's been mowing my yard. It's one of the benefits of having allergies. I don't get to mow my own yard, for which I'm grateful for that benefit. But typically Dwight comes the first week of March and starts mowing my yard. But we've also had some winter, and we haven't had to mow the yard yet. So sometime, I think probably in the next week or 10 days, he'll be there running his mower and clipping my grass. But you may have to wait just a little bit longer than that. But I think hopefully, maybe, perhaps, winter is about to be done, and we'll all be happy about that. The Orioles and the Nationals will be playing baseball in another couple of weeks. Amen? Amen? I thought, are there no baseball fans in this crowd? I mean, surely. I mean, man, if you're not baseball fans, I'm going to change my text. I mean, got to get things right here. Amen? All right. Well, let's look at John's Gospel, chapter number 1, and I begin reading at the very top of the chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me pause there. This word, Word, here, W-O-R-D, is a title of the Lord Jesus. And what this is saying here is that in the beginning, the Lord Jesus was. And the Lord Jesus was not only with God, but He was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God, meaning the Father. And when I read this, I'm reminded that there was a point where time began, in the beginning. Eternity had been forever. Eternity's past had no start, like eternity's future will have no stop. But time did have a beginning. The creation of which you and I are a part had a beginning. There was a time when God stepped out in space and said, we're going to make some stuff. And He spoke worlds into existence. And I cannot run through passages like this without reminding you, you did not evolve from anything. You're not the product of evolution. You are the result of a divine creation. Your ancestors did not come from some swamp or creek somewhere. That's not your ancestry. Not at all. We started at a point in time where the Bible says, in the beginning. Now, this goes on to say, verse 3 says, all things were made by Him. That means the planets, the stars, the moon, this universe that we live in, and all kinds of other universes out beyond our Milky Way. You know, when I was going to school a couple of weeks ago, they told us there were 9 planets. They made us memorize the names of the 9 planets, the last of which was one named Pluto. I always thought Pluto was a dog. Now then, they're disputing whether Pluto is even a planet or not. But almost every week now, they are discovering additional planets. Not just 9 or 90, but literally hundreds and hundreds of planets now with the telescopic equipment we have and other space ventures that we've made. They are discovering planets by the hundreds now. Now, all of this operates in a very orderly fashion. Some of you have a watch on. I don't wear a watch. I don't ever like watches, so I don't wear a watch. But the timepiece that you have on your arm, supposedly, I mean, it's supposed to function right. If it doesn't function right, you take it back to get it fixed. You look at your watch, you want it to say, if it's 10 after 12, you want it to be 10 after 12. Now, you say, well, how does it happen to keep time? Oh, it just happened to do that. I bought a candy bar and it turned into a glass of lemonade, and the glass of lemonade turned into a watch. Now you say, that is ridiculous. I know, and so is evolution. No, that watch you have on is the result of a watchmaker. Somebody made it. And so is this universe that order that works on such an orderly, precise, functioning schedule that if you want to know to the minute when the sun's coming up on the 4th of July, not only this year, but next year and the next year and the next, that information is all available and to the minute. You will know when the sun's going to go down Christmas Day. We can tell you in advance, this year, next year, 100 years from now, because of the orderly way in which the universe functions. So let's put all this nonsense to rest. Creation, and the Bible says here, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, you say, well, what does that say to us? Well, verse 4 says, in Him who made all these things was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I'm going to come back to that verse in a minute. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. You notice that's all men, not a select few, but all men through him might believe. He, that is John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man, not just some men, but every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, verse 5 again. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, that word comprehended is an interesting word study. It means the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness didn't understand what was going on. The darkness couldn't catch hold of what was taking place. The darkness just could not overcome the pressure that the light brought. The darkness comprehended it not. Now, I know I'm speaking to a very sophisticated audience this morning, but if I were somewhere way down south, like in Alabama, I would explain this verse like this, and I think this sophisticated audience will understand it. I would explain it like this. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness couldn't do a cotton-picking thing about it. Now, the folks down in the deep south would understand that. I think you do. Now, the darkness can't do anything about it when the light shines. Now, this tells us that the Lord sent a man named John to announce the light was coming. John was sent. He was a man on a mission. He came to be a witness, a torchbearer. Came with an agenda, verse 7 says, to bear witness of the light. Now, John knew he was not the light, but he was to tell about the light. Could maybe be explained like this. The sun that you see shining in the daytime, they tell us, is 93 million miles away. give or take a mile or two. I'm not sure whose odometer they use, but they tell us 93 million miles out, the sun is shining. Now, the sun is a source of light. It's generating light. Wait a few hours and let the earth spin itself just a little, and we will see the moon. The moon appears to be shining, but it's not a source of light. It is still in position where it's catching the light from the sun, and what we see is a reflection when we see moonlight. Now, here's where we fit into this. Jesus is the source of light. He is the sunshine. You and I are only a reflection of the sunlight. In other words, He is sunlight and you and sunshine, and you and I are moonshine. That's what we are. I think I heard somebody say, I thought you was acting a little crazy. Yeah. See, there's no source. I'm not capable of generating the light. He generates the light. You and I catch that light and reflect it. So what I tell you when I read the Bible, what Pastor Tyson tells you when he reads the Bible, what we're saying, what we're proclaiming is not our message, but it's His message. Now, the sun shines, this passage says, on everybody. He who is the Creator, this passage says, is disowned, He's disavowed by the very creatures that He created. But the mission is yet fulfilled, because verse 12 says, as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So the light shines in darkness, gets the job done. See, when the light shines, talking about He who is the sunshine, the Lord Jesus, when the light shines, it cuts through the darkness every time. It will penetrate the darkness. If we came in here to this room in the dark of the night, all the lights shut off, curtains pulled, blinds closed, it might be dark enough in here that you would have to really feel your way around. But if you turn on the slightest little light, you can make your way around, and everywhere you go with that little flashlight in your hand, even a little light will penetrate the darkness as it goes. Where the light comes on, it displaces the darkness. Remember, I told you, darkness can't do a cotton picking thing about it when we get the light turned on. It displaces the darkness. It takes possession of the territory where the darkness held sway previously. So you and I, getting the light turned on, it pushes the darkness back. You say, well, the darkness seems to be, man, it's engulfing the world. Yeah, I know, but the light is greater than the darkness. It's stronger than the darkness, and from this light that the Lord Jesus is and what He brings to us, from that we get life. Life now, life everlasting. Fact is, nothing could live without light. Every little blade of grass that will soon be springing up requires light. These trees that are somewhat in dormancy at the moment, but even in their state of dormancy, they require light. I mean, everything that lives requires light in order to live. And the Bible says this light that the Lord Jesus brings becomes the life of men. So, truth is, this light is our hope. This light is our help. It's our counsel, our comfort. It's our refuge. It is our redemption. This light that is the Lord Jesus. Jesus said to us in Matthew 5:16, He said, we're to let our light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you and I need, in our world, we need here in this part of the world where we live, we need to simply let our light shine. And when we turn the light on, things do happen. When you turn the light on, if we walk in here and flip the switch and turn the light on, it tells me you're connected to the power. If you go out here and clip the cord, you can flip the switch all day long, won't any light come on. But if you're hooked up to the utility company, when you flip the switch, the light will come on because you're connected to the source of power. And when you and I let our light shine, we do so because we've gotten connected to the Lord like we're supposed to. And it's not just us, but we're connected to the power source. I've knocked on people's doors when I was trembling in my shoes, afraid. You ever go out and knock on a door and a guy's got a dog standing there barking? I mean, I love dogs, but not when they're showing their teeth. I heard the other day about a pastor went out knocking on doors, pulled up in the yard, there was a dog baring its teeth. He got out of the car about the same time the man opened the door of the house, and he called out to him. He said, "Sir, the dog's just having a spell." He said, "Does your dog bite?" He said, "No, my dog doesn't bite." Pastor got out and walked in. About the time he got to the dog, dog grabbed him by the hand, just shredded his hand. Pastor said, "I thought you said your dog didn't bite." He said, "That's not my dog." I don't know why I told you that, but anyway. You and I let our light shine, even when we're trembling, even when we feel weak, even when we feel like not much. Our light can count and it can dispel the darkness where we go if we're connected to the power. I've gotten up in front of microphones like this and sat down when I said to myself, I didn't do a good job, and yet God used it in somebody's life. Knocked on doors whenever I didn't feel good about the whole scenario. I don't think I can get this done, but God used it to bring somebody to Christ. Amen. Simply because I was connected to the power source. Now, you get connected to the power, and by the way, it'll cost you something to be connected to the power. I get a bill in my mailbox every month from the utility company telling me how much electricity Betty and I have used in 30 days. And I have to pay the bill. It cost to have the light on. Now, I didn't pay to get the utility company set up. Somebody had already done that. But if I want the power, it'll cost me. Sometimes, you know, we get to thinking, well, you know, I don't want to bury any pain. I don't want to make any sacrifice. If you do what you ought to do and shine the light that you ought to shine, it will cost you along the way. It'll cost you something. Not only that, but you get the light shining in your life, you'll stumble less. You'll stumble. Just the benefits of having the sun shining in your life, you'll stumble less. I've thought of it over and over again. About half the year, I'm in a hotel somewhere. Just about half the year. I made 70 trips last year. About half the year in hotels. I do wish they'd make all hotels alike. The one where I was a few days ago, the bathroom was over here. The one where I am today, the bathroom is over here. I get up in the dark of the night thinking it's over here and I run into a wall. Unless I have the wisdom to turn the light on. If I turn the light on, I don't skin my shins, I don't stumble and fall, I don't knock stuff off the dresser and break it, simply because I turn the light on. And listen, in your life, if you will let the light shine in your life, one of the benefits of that is you'll stumble less. A lot of, I wish I hadn't done that. I made that mistake, and I've done it before, and I've done it again. Get the light turned on. You'll stumble less. Not only that, but you get the light turned on in your life, And the heat that it generates will warm things up. It will. You know, a lot of folks, well, I went to church. I didn't feel a thing. You just need to get the light turned on. You know, we stand up here to sing these songs that Brother Bob was leading us in a little while ago. You get things working with the Lord like it needs to, and those songs, they'll warm you up when you sing them. You won't just be cold sitting there trying to figure out how soon you can get to the restaurant to get a hamburger. Amen. And I'm not opposed to that. Amen. But anyway, it'll warm things up in your life. The heat that the light generates will warm things up in your life. If you get the light shining in your life, the bugs will scatter. The bugs will scatter. The rats will run. The snakes will go away. I mean, a lot of folks are living in a scenario where there's bugs crawling everywhere and the rats are hanging close and there's snakes in the grass. You turn the lights on, the bugs will scatter, the rats will run, and the snakes will go slithering away. You'll have a whole lot less problem with bugs and rats and snakes if you just keep the lights shining in your neighborhood. Every once in a while, I get into a hotel where they haven't dealt with the bugs. And my son has a little 5-acre farmette where he and his family live. And they have chickens and dwarf goats that they're raising and some dogs that they're raising. And he tells me, I haven't been out there in the dark of the night to see it, but he tells me that you walk out there any given night and they have rats who hang around the little barn. They're just picking up the residue of things that they're feeding, and it just causes the rats to come, and snakes as well. And he said, you walk out there and turn the light on, and boy, they disappear in a hurry. I mean, they go running. And you know, there's things hanging in the little circle of your influence. That if you get the light of the Lord, I mean, you just turn the light on, some of it will get out of your circle. It'll just go missing. Now, there's a lot of good things that come. You get the light turned on, you won't have to guess who's standing at the door. You'll be able to see. The fellow said, well, you know, I just can't see what you're talking about. Turn the light on. Get the light turned on. You'll understand why we're trying to get folks saved. You'll understand why we're running the buses. You'll understand why we're pressing. You'll understand why we got a heart for the capital and why we got a heart for the nation. Get the light turned on. You get the light turned on, you'll find things you've been missing. How long has it been since you looked in your couch? Looked under the seat of your car? Guarantee you there's cars all over the parking lot right now that's got money down under the seat of the car. Maybe quarters and dimes and nickels, but you probably got enough in there to buy a soda pop and a box of Cracker Jacks. You hadn't looked in a while. You say, well, that couch where I rest and where I take my naps and stuff, I'm telling you, pull the cushions out. You're going to find stuff you've been missing. Every time something goes missing at our house, I mean, I misput something. My dear wife, I mean, it's a routine with her. I say, hey, honey, have you seen such and such? She'll say, well, where did you have it last? If I knew that, it wouldn't be missing. The other day, I mislaid a little clump of keys. I said to her, have you seen my keys? She said, where'd you have it last? I said, honey, I don't know where I had it last. I went rummaging around through the house. And finally, she said, well, if you turn the light on in that room, you might come closer. I mean, she's full of such helpful ideas. Sure enough, I went and turned on every lamp in the room and promptly found the keys. You find stuff you've been missing. I mean, I've heard it over and over and over again. Here, I've lived 42 years of my life. I didn't know there was a creator. I didn't know that there was a Savior who was like light, who would shine in the darkness of the world. I mean, I've heard it again and again and again. You turn the light on in your life, you'll find some things. You know, husbands will learn more about how to be a good husband. Wives will learn more about how to be a good wife. Moms and dads will learn more about how to be good parents. Kids will even learn how to be decent kids when the light's turned on in your life. There's every reason for us who know the light to shine the light. And every one of us who have been missing the light, there are reasons beyond explanation. There are reasons beyond explanation why we ought to get ourselves in the place where the light does shine. You notice this text that I read? The light shineth in darkness. A lot of things out here that have been overshadowed by the dark. But when the light shines, all the difference is made. One time we were driving from south from St. Louis, along in the middle of the night, driving in the wee hours of the morning, my lights on my car began to go out. Got dimmer and dimmer the further down we went. There's a little burg down through there, Ware, Illinois, W-A-R-E, Ware, Illinois, old Route 3. We got in there, slid in there. My lights were so dim I could hardly see the road. I was concerned. It was cold. Had my family in the car. We pulled in there, a little all-night truck stop. Went inside, called my dad, woke him up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Dad, I got a problem. I think you're going to have to come and get me." He said, "What's the problem?" I said, "Well, the lights just got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer." He said, "Oh, I don't think I'll have to come up there to help you with that." He said, "Get one of those guys to give you a wrench and go out there and tighten up your alternator belt and just get in the car and drive it. You'll be all right." I learned that lesson. I didn't have to relearn that in 29 times. But see, there's a source that generates the power. And if we get ourselves connected as we ought to, that light can shine in our life. I didn't have a real good car, but the light shined as long as we kept it generating the power. And you and I, the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Not a cotton-picking thing. The darkness is helpless. The darkness cannot do a thing to forestall us. It cannot keep us from doing what we do. I'm telling you, we ought to take heart knowing that we're the light. Jesus said about himself, he said, "I'm the light of the world." And then he said, "As long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world." And then in a third place, he said, "Ye are the light of the world." You say, "What are you trying to tell me?" Let your light shine. The darkness can't do a cotton-picking thing to stop it if you do. Let's stand up and we'll pray. Stand together, please. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for listening. Our heads are bowed. Look to the Lord in prayer. Let me ask a question, if I may, in the privacy of this moment. Has there been a time when you found the light and got it turned on in your life? Do you know him who is the light of the world? Do you have settled that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? If I were to ask you, do you know for sure? Know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, because there is a time, there was a time there and a place where you definitely and deliberately, knowingly put your faith and trust in the crucified and risen Christ. If there's been a time like that, I'm happy. But if it has not, I want to help you to make this the day when you say yes to him who went to the cross, died for you. If you know that you've got it settled and you're sure, you remember the time and the day, would you slip your hand up to testify? And by so doing, you're just saying, "Yes, I know, I got it settled. I did. I got it settled. God bless you. Thank you, many of you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. But if you don't have that settled, why not today? Why not make this the time? I'm going to pray in just a moment. I'll be very pleased if I could knowingly pray for you. I'll not embarrass you, but I'll just pray with you in mind. And if you're not sure that you have that settled, would you just, with only Pastor Tyson and myself looking, would you just simply by the uplifted hand say, if you're going to pray for folks who need to get it settled, would you please pray for me? You'd slip your hand up just for a moment for me to see it. I'm looking all the way around, to the left, across the center, and to the right here. You'd slip your hand up just to say, pray for me. I don't know that I've got it settled. Yes, thank you. God bless you. I see your hand there. I see your hand. Anyone else? All right. Head's still bowed and eyes are closed. One more thing. You may have trusted Christ already. But you're not in a good church. You haven't been in a good church yet, gotten yourself located yet. And maybe this would be the day when you want to come forward, as folks do here all the time, and just say to the pastor, I'd love to make this my church home. And you know, after we've been saved, following the Lord in baptism is a step of obedience. We don't get saved because of baptism, but we get baptized because we are saved. If you haven't followed the Lord in baptism, you could come and say to the pastor, I'd like to make a time, set a time, make an arrangement with a time so we can get that done. Get baptized. Maybe you got friends and family you'd want to invite to come see you baptized. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed and all over this building, you say, I've got things going on in my life. Please pray for me. You'd slip your hand up just to say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, that we can open the Bible. Just dig through it, see the good things that are there, be encouraged by it, be strengthened, be instructed, be fortified. And Lord, I pray that today what we've done both hours will be helpful to all of us, all of us. I pray that every single one of us will catch something out of this today that'll help us along the way. And dear Lord, I pray for those right now who may need to trust the Savior. I pray that you'd help them to say, this is going to be the day when I'll settle it. This 15th of March, 2015, will be the day that I log it in and know that I got it done. Maybe others who need to come for baptism or to join the church. Dear Lord, I pray that you will today put it upon the hearts of people to do what they'll be glad they've done when eternity's begun. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing something here in just a moment. The instrument begins to play. The altars are open, and for whatever reason that you may need to find your way, listen, step out and come now. Pastor's here to help you. Let's do business with the Lord. Come on, please. Do it this morning. Find your way. We'll wait for you. If you're coming, come on. Do it today. Do it today. Don't be afraid. Just slip out. Come right on. Do it today.